To round out today, we're really excited to have Rupina Purewal with us to lead a live podcast to introduce AMR Aware. Rupina is a pediatric infectious disease physician and assistant professor at the University of Saskatchewan. She's actively involved in national trials and retrospective chart reviews, public health collaborations for syphilis outbreaks, and spends the rest of her time in education as the Pediatric Undergraduate Medical Education Program Director. Dr. Purewal is also the founder, host, and producer of a Canadian infectious disease podcast, The Canadian Breakpoint, which was established in November 2021. The podcast has growing listenership with over 6,000 unique downloads to date from listeners in Canada, the US, the UK, India, and Australia. The podcast is designed to create awareness of increasing AMR and our fight against it, to focus on discussions around new diagnostic methods, how to implement new technologies in lab and clinical medicine, and to review emerging infectious diseases. We're really excited to have Rupina here to talk to Brad on stage as part of a live podcast today. So welcome, Rupina.
Thank you, everyone. I really appreciate everyone staying for the segment, even though it's one of the last ones. And I'm really excited because this is the first time that we're doing a live podcast. So I'm really grateful to Biomir and Kaja and Elizabeth for helping me arrange this. So thank you so much. And then I do want to give a shout out to my producer and marketing advisor, Summer Stewart, who's been helpful. So, as I don't think I need to give more of an introduction to Brad, because Brad wears many hats. We just heard an amazing stewardship talk from him, and now we're going to change gears a bit and talk back a little bit about the AMR initiative. And so, thank you, Brad, for taking this opportunity.
Thanks for having me.
Stay on the stage, first of all, for a longer period of time, and also being open to being interviewed on this topic.
Happy to do so.
Thanks. So without further ado, basically what we're going to be talking about today is the AMR launch. And so Brad is going to give us a lot of information about the AMR initiative. I know there's been a wealth of information over the last 2 days. I've learned so much during this symposium and been so grateful to be here. And so we are going to change gears and talk about the new AMR initiative. So Brad, can you begin by summarizing not only for our audience here, but also my audience that's tuning in live and will be listening to the podcast on a later date. What is the new AMR awareness campaign, and why is this important?
Yeah, thanks, Rupina. So this new campaign is called AMR Aware Canada. It was just launched this month, just in time for World AMR Awareness Week 2024, and just in time for this conference as well. I think we heard a lot during this conference about the importance of working together across sectors, across disciplines. And I think one of the important first steps in that, kind of a foundational step, is to try to get everyone on the same page as to what is AMR, what are we as a group to do about this. And I think that's what AMR Aware Canada aims to do, is provide kind of a foundational level of understanding and awareness about AMR in Canada. Mm-hmm. So AMR Aware Canada refers to this campaign, but it's also a brand new website. So amraware.ca, and that's shown up there on the screen with the QR code, and we can put the website link in the show notes as well. And that's got a number of great resources, some really good campaign resources for this World AMR Awareness Week that can be shared with your colleagues and with the general public. Mm-hmm. I should highlight, though, the great work by National Collaborating Center for Infectious Diseases, NCCID. The folks there, Harpa and Amanda, have done some nice work pulling together some really great visuals, one of which is this five things to know about antimicrobial resistance. Each of those five things has their own graphic that can be shared, and they're really quite suitable for sharing on social media. So I can I'm happy to go through the five things. I think they might be useful to briefly talk about them, but encourage people to go to the website to find out more. But the five things are basically what kind of this network of us at the, you know, AMR Aware Canada, I should have also mentioned, is a network of individuals. So it's about 20 collaborators, about 50 individuals, and I'm one of those. And we all had a chance to kind of review some of these statements and visuals. And these are the five things that we think are important for people to know about AMR. So one of which is that antimicrobial resistance is growing at a rate that's faster than we're able to keep up with the development of new antibiotics.
Right.
All of these, by the way, are things that I think we as a group tend to know, but we don't think that everyone else knows about this, so there's an opportunity to share this.
Yeah.
So number two is the fact that these infections that are caused by antimicrobial resistant organisms are becoming very difficult to treat and in some cases impossible to treat.
Mm-hmm.
Antimicrobial use is a big driver of antimicrobial resistance, you know, whether it be inappropriate or appropriate. But the challenge is we know that there's a lot of inappropriate usage, and we can address that to reduce the unnecessary harm that patients are exposed to. And then a big thing we heard from Dr. Lakshminarayanan this morning about prevention. So prevention is key. You know, things like hand hygiene, things like immunization can help prevent infections, which can prevent downstream antimicrobial use. And then the fifth thing is a final, like a call to action about the importance of learning about antimicrobial stewardship, both from the perspective of the prescriber, you know, the right drug, right dose, right route and duration only when needed, and from the patient's perspective as well.
Yeah, and so actually looking at the website itself, I felt like it was very user-friendly this year, and also a lot of resources and tools that can help clinicians, can help us you know, communicate with the rest of our colleagues, but also with the public. And so there's a wealth of information there. And like you mentioned, it is a multifaceted problem. And that's discussed, that has been discussed over the last 2 days as well here, and really seeing the angles and different perspective. And actually, like you mentioned, that there's over 50 collaborators. I think that perspective is really good to see from our end as well, because we can see that we're not looking at the problem from one angle.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's fantastic. So with AMR Aware Canada being a unified campaign in Canada and across the, like, pretty much across the country, what are some of the leading Canadian programs or practices that are related to the awareness?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is like so many great things that are happening across the country. You could,
for sure,
you know, spend an entire podcast just talking about this. but I think, you know, I'd like to highlight a couple of things. We heard a lot about upper respiratory tract infections being a major driver of unnecessary antibiotic use in the primary care setting. So that is a big target for patient awareness and education. And Choosing Wisely Canada has done some really good work on that. They have a toolkit called the Cold Standard Toolkit. It has a list of resources, recommendations for prescribing for common upper respiratory tract infections in primary care. And one of the resources I think was discussed in a couple of talks is the viral prescribing pad. So basically, you know, if a patient presents with an illness that's likely caused by a virus, they don't need to go home empty-handed. They can go home with this viral prescribing pad that has recommendations for supportive care, but doesn't have any antibiotic to use. So give some opportunity for them to learn about, you know, what they can do to monitor, when they should be following up. And it kind of validates the fact that they have symptoms, but 100%. They just need to be addressed without antibiotics.
Yeah. Yeah, and yesterday there was a talk in regards to decision support that was mentioned. And I think all of these tools, especially being a clinician myself, having those decision tools on, you know, that support without having to call an infectious disease physician, or let's say it's in the middle of the night and you don't have the resources, or you're in a center where you don't have a specialist or a subspecialist where you can have that conversation, but yet you can kind of make a informed decision and guide your patient through that's fantastic that there's tools like this that exist.
Yeah, there's a great section on the website just under resources. It's kind of like a wizard that you can filter the resources out by your audience type, by the resource type, by the condition. So I think that's a useful tool to check out.
And that's perfect because, again, we're talking about patient level awareness too, and case by case. And so that's fantastic. Yeah, and it's so nice to see that we have, you know, during the symposium, I really realized that all of us are in the room trying to do the same thing and have that collaboration. And it's so nice that we have something that's unified and centralized for us to actually, you know, similar to when we have guidelines that we can follow, now we have tools and resources that we can access in one place. So it's fantastic. I think they've done, AMR Aware Canada has done a fantastic job on that.
Great.
So thank you. Moving on to more about the campaign. So I'm not sure if people are familiar with this, but there's been the Go Blue for AMR campaign. If you've tuned into the podcast, The Canadian Breakpoint, in our last season on episode 8, we had Dr. Wards from University of Manitoba discuss the Go Blue for AMR. So basically, highlighted that campaign. Can you give us some more information about that and maybe for our audience if they're unfamiliar with it?
For sure, yeah. So I think we've kind of all experienced the difficulty in trying to explain antimicrobial resistance to family members or to the general public.
100%.
It's, you know, it's a microscopic threat. Literally, it's invisible. So the World Health Organization has come up with this color campaign a few years ago called Go Blue. And it's really to try to make the invisible more visible. And so it's a color campaign to encourage everyone during the week, World AMR Awareness Week, to do a few different things. And it's actually quite easy to participate. I'm participating right now by wearing the color blue. That's one thing you can do. Another thing is across the country, there are a variety of landmarks that are illuminated in blue to mark World AMR Awareness Week. From coast to coast, Canada Place in BC is going to light up Confederation Building in Newfoundland. Right here in Toronto, the CN Tower will light up on November the 24th. Mm-hmm. So I have a map that I'm putting together, just collating all of the different sites that will be lighting up. And so I'm happy to put that in the show notes as well so people can go out and take photos and post them online.
Nice.
There is a hashtag. It's hashtag GoBlue for AMR.
Okay.
If you search that on any of your platforms, X or Blue Sky, you should be able to find out what's going on around you or at that time around the campaign and see what other sites have been illuminated in blue.
That's fantastic. And this is a world, like a global hashtag.
That's right.
As far as I know, yeah. So it would be something that you can see other countries participating in as well.
For sure.
Nice.
Yeah, and I think one of the key things is that we make sure it's clear why we're, you know, why we're going blue, why these buildings are lit up blue.
Yes.
So that's like the opportunity to close the loop and share, you know, share these photos online, use the hashtag, and explain to everyone why going blue is important to you.
Right. Yeah, and I did see the CN Tower, and it was a little bit tricky because this week's been the Swifty week as well, so it's hard to tell if it's pink or blue at certain times, but I don't know if you guys can tell, but I'm wearing blue earrings because I looked in my entire wardrobe and realized I have no blue clothing except for my McDavid Oilers jersey, and I didn't think that would be appropriate to wear today.
Right,
so.
Right.
So in terms of moving forward, you talked a little bit about public awareness. Mm-hmm. I think that over the last 2 days is something that even myself, I've reflected upon and thought about, do I do a good job with, you know, discussing this with my patients or their families? And how do I communicate effectively? And I think all of us have a lot of knowledge about antimicrobial resistance, and we're able to, you know, use the microbiology information that we have, then also the organisms and antibiotics, and you know, pharmacists guide us on this as well. So I think we have a great network in our communities from a healthcare standpoint. But how do we effectively communicate this with the public? And so, are there strategies and ways because I struggle with this being in pediatrics, and you know, I'm dealing with families where there's obviously serious conditions. Sometimes we have oncology patients that will be in for long periods of time. There's resistance developing, and you know that it's happening. But how do we effectively communicate this with our families and our patients?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there's a lot of opportunity here for improvement. Mm-hmm. Like, we know that this is necessary. It's still an educational gap that needs to be filled, right? Like,
100%.
There's public opinion research from the Public Health Agency of Canada that shows that about one-third of Canadians still believe that antibiotics will help, you know, treat viral infections. So there's obviously some misconceptions we need to address.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of campaigns that have been launched. Some of them have been studied, some of them haven't been studied. The ones that have been, mixed results sometimes, opportunity for improvement in terms of the quality of those campaigns.
Yep.
So we still don't really know a whole lot about how to best communicate. What we kind of have a sense from the literature is it's best to address it from multiple angles, have more active approaches. So face-to-face learning mm-hmm. is probably a bit better than mass media alone, but the combination might be better.
Mm-hmm.
Engaging both the prescriber and the patient, so the supply side and the demand side, you know, coming at it from those angles as well. I really like this report from the Wellcome Trust in the UK. It's called Reframing Resistance. So it's a really nice way to describe resistance to the general public in ways that it might help to resonate a bit more. So one thing that they recommend is to frame this problem as something that is currently happening and that it's happening here. So it's currently undermining modern medicine. Some people tend to think, oh, it's a problem elsewhere, or it will be a problem in the future. But you know, I have to bring it back to the present, that this is an issue that is happening right now, and it could happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that people tend to not resonate so much that we do a lot is we throw out very big numbers, like, oh, 2 million deaths per year due to antimicrobial resistance. You know, it is obviously important for us to know those figures, but from a general public perspective, it's not as resonant if it's not personal.
Right.
So one thing they recommend is to make it as personal as possible. So use stories, personal stories of people who've had experienced AMR and the suffering associated with those infections
mm-hmm.
Can be more helpful than just the statistics alone.
Okay.
And then making it clear that, you know, this is not all doom and gloom. This is solvable. There's things that we can all do and that everyone has a role to play. So I think those are some tidbits that we've learned about. And I think the AMR Aware Canada campaign has really embodied them in terms of, like, if you look at their website, there is a page on stories. You can
mm-hmm.
look at stories of people who've had experiences with AMR
right.
That can be shared and kind of make it a bit more personalized.
Yeah, and I think often there's that disconnect or that piece of information that's missing where, you know, people don't discuss it very often mm-hmm. within families or amongst mm-hmm. one another. I don't know if we're doing a great job because we're creating that, asking the questions, like, have they traveled, been hospitalized in a different country, that type of thing, to kind of see which resistant pathogens mm-hmm. that we're dealing with. So mm-hmm. I don't know if that's, we've kind of created that miscommunication, but I think you make a really good point is to for them to understand that this is not a problem elsewhere. It's happening mm-hmm. here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a concern in our hospitals. It's a concern for our patients
yes.
and their families. And so mm-hmm. I think, and like you mentioned, the website has, they have videos and they have yes. written stories. On the website, so I think it's really nice for other families, because we know with even chronic conditions, there's forums, other outlet tools mm-hmm. for families,
mm-hmm.
And so if they are dealing with a resistant organism or they're not completely understanding that, I think it's nice for them to have that support system. And AMR Aware Canada has really given us those tools, so that's fantastic.
One thing that we hear about, you know, is a misconception that often needs to be dispelled is the fact that it's the bacteria, it's the microbes that become resistant and not the patient.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a misconception that's probably important, really important to dispel, because it relates to how those bacteria can then go on to spread to their family and friends and loved ones. So it may make it a little bit more meaningful to address that misconception as well.
Right, yeah. And then looking at it from many different angles, like the stewardship standpoint,
yes.
the infection control, and I think we've heard of that, heard a lot about that over the last 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fantastic. In terms of, as healthcare providers, so kind of gearing back to us and not the public, what can we do more at this time? So we talked about wearing blue, taking pictures, but what else can we do for the awareness? I mean, I think coming to the symposium and telling others that we're at the symposium and how fantastic the talks were over the last 2 days is helpful. But what else can we do to raise awareness for AMR?
Yeah, I think because we're talking about AMR Aware Canada today, I think I'm going to encourage people that we have this time of captive audience here to try to share these resources with people who you think might find them useful, whether it be your colleagues or other people that you work with, people within your team, your comms team, that they can send these out during World AMR Awareness Week. I think a lot of the resources here are very well suited to social media. So
great.
I'd ask you, if you have some time today, go on to whatever your preferred platform is and share amraware.ca and then use the symposium hashtag. I've got some posts up there already on X, Twitter, previously known as Twitter, on Blue Sky, LinkedIn, Threads. Under the hashtag AMR Symposium 2024, you'll find some of these posts and resources that are already there. Feel free to just retweet them. But if you want, another approach is to take some of the images from the campaign material and share them yourself. And I think, you know, making it personal and sharing about why you think it's really important to address AMR from your own perspective.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much, Brad. And I think what I've learned over the last few days is that we need to educate, we need to advocate, and then the most important thing is that we need some action in order for us to combat this AMR threat. And it's really nice to see that there were multiple people in the room with the same passion, and I really look forward to working with everyone, and hopefully we can continue to have symposiums like this that can educate, and there's been some fantastic work going on. You're doing some fantastic work with the stewardship side of things. So thank you so much. And with that, I will say thanks for joining us on the podcast. And
thank you for having me.
Yeah, and it was fantastic. And thank you, Biomir, for hosting this great symposium.